First, a new study shows that teenagers aren't getting enough sleep. Aside from just being tired, lack of sleep can pose serious long-term health risks. And more than 25% of parents said their teens use some kind of medication to help them sleep. The vast majority of parents of teens with sleep problems said they or their teens had not talked to a doctor about those issues. So why aren't teenagers sleeping well, and what can we do about it? Sarah Clark is an associate research scientist in the Department of Pediatrics and Communicable Diseases at the University of Michigan. She's the co-director of the C.S. Mott Children's Hospital National Poll on Children's Health. She's from Stevens Point, by the way. Sarah, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Well, thanks for having me, Rob. Proud Splash Panther here.
All right. Well, we see these recommendations all the time. Teens should be getting 8 to 9 hours of sleep-ish. What do we know about how much sleep teenagers are actually getting?
They're getting way less than that. And one of the things that we wanted to do in our poll was to understand from parents what the reasons were for that inadequate sleep. And parents had a number of culprits. And I don't think it's going to surprise anyone to hear that the number one cause that parents gave was that the teens wouldn't get off their electronics, the social media, the cell phones, and things like that. But I want to be fair to the teens, because other leading causes were irregular sleep schedules, sometimes due to the homework load, as well as worry about school and worry about social life. And when you think about how different it is for teens today compared to maybe when you and I were teenagers, that technology is not only a more integral part of the teen's social life, how they're interacting with their peers, but it's also very integrated into their academic life. So teens might be doing a group project that requires them to be communicating with their group partners through social media. They might have online textbooks that require them to be on the computer. They might need to upload their assignments through some sort of software. So this isn't as easy a problem as just saying, hey, let's pull the plug on the technology and we're going to be okay. I don't think that's very realistic.
Before we dig deeper into the results of the survey, can you talk about what's at stake? Why, for teens in particular, is sleep so important?
There are so many reasons that sleep contributes to your daily functioning. You know, certainly there is just the day-to-day ability to concentrate in class. Your mood is greatly affected by sleep, being able to interact with your peers and your family, to feel good about yourself. Then there are some longer-term consequences with sleep being associated with things like obesity. So our bodies require sleep to function at their best, and there are too many teens as well as adults who aren't getting enough sleep.
You also asked parents if their teens were using some kind of sleep aid, whether that's over-the-counter remedies, alternative remedies, or prescription medications. What did you find out?
We did find out that a lot of teens who are having either frequent sleep problems, which we called it 3 or more nights a week, or occasional sleep problems, maybe 1 or 2 nights a week, are trying to address their sleep problems with some sort of product. So we had about 16% using some sort of over-the-counter sleep medicine, and that's the PM formula of products that we're used to seeing day to day, but 14% used over-the-counter antihistamines like a Benadryl to try to go to sleep, and 5% use prescription sleep medicine. But what was really interesting, we thought, from our poll results, was that when you looked at the subset of parents who said they and their teen had talked with the doctor about it, the doctor's recommendations were flipped. The doctors were more inclined to suggest the prescription sleep medicine when they felt medication was necessary, and the doctors veered away from that over-the-counter sleep medicine or Benadryl or something like that to address a sleep problem. So there's really a mismatch in what parents are doing kind of on their own and what they're doing in consultation with a health professional.
We're talking about teens and sleep. Many teens are not sleeping enough. A new survey tried to get to the bottom of why that is, what families are doing and not doing to deal with it. Sarah Clark is with us from the University of Michigan. She's an associate research scientist in pediatrics and communicable diseases. And Sarah, you mentioned families talking to the doctor. One thing a lot of families aren't doing when there's a sleep problem in the home, it sounds like, is talking to their doctor.
Unless the parent or the teen brings it up, that's a topic that is likely to be just forgotten about. It's not something that we can assume the child's provider is going to ask about every time. It's interesting that sleep is so important to our overall health, but for a lot of people, they don't think about sleep as a health issue. I think a lot of folks just think about inadequate sleep as something that happens as part of your life. But when a family doesn't bring it up with the doctor, we are taking away the opportunity to, first of all, go through the process of trying to figure out whether this is a situation that has an underlying medical cause. So certainly there are teens as well as adults who have things like sleep apnea that need to have a very prescribed treatment, or sometimes sleep problems can be a side effect of medication. So once we either identify whether there's this underlying cause or we rule it out, then we can begin to address other things like what are some strategies to help teens sleep better and for longer hours.
That's on the parent side. Are you hoping more healthcare providers ask this, put it on the checklist when they're dealing with teens?
That's one of the things that we try to do with our Mott poll reports, is to get this out into the public on shows like this and or in other media, to make sure that providers remember this is so common for our teenage patients. We need to make sure that we're remembering to ask about that and to offer some really practical suggestions.
Now, I've talked to sleep experts before, and one thing people talk about is, okay, maybe before we go for a medication, working on sleep hygiene. Is that something you looked at in this survey, or that you look at as you're publicizing the results?
We absolutely did look at it in our survey, and sleep hygiene was certainly the most common strategies that doctors were recommending when parents went to see them. And so for folks listening, sleep hygiene includes really practical suggestions like turning off electronics, keeping the room cool, having a set time to go to bed, and a set time to wake up rather than skimping during the week and sleeping till noon on a weekend morning. The problem with this particular age group is that sleep hygiene doesn't necessarily fit well with the standard teenage schedule. So if you think about the life of a busy teenager who might come home from play practice or the game or the church group and get home at 9:30, start eating dinner and pull out homework after homework after homework assignment, it's hard to predict the time that they're going to be able to finish up for the night. And I think that contributes to the inadequate sleep that so many of our teens are getting. Sleep hygiene doesn't always work well with their busy lives.
On that topic of the schedule, Brandy on Facebook wrote about the school start times. Teenagers are not meant to get up early. It's just not in their biology. And we've heard recommendations that, hey, maybe we're making kids go to school too early, and that's adding to that scheduling problem you were just talking about. Do you see that as part of the problem?
Absolutely. I can tell you that our own district here in Ann Arbor tried to change the start times, push those start times back a little later. And it really was a challenging situation with reconfiguring the bus schedules. Certainly after school activities, had to reschedule and try to work around different time slots to make that happen. And we also have seen broader movements. There's been a push in the state of California to have a statewide change to a later start time. It's hard to make the logistical changes necessary to do that, but it's such an important health-related situation for our teens that we really need to make the effort.
We're talking to Sarah Clark. She's an associate research scientist in the Department of Pediatrics and Communicable Diseases at the University of Michigan. She also runs the C.S. Mott Children's Hospital National Poll on Children's Health. The latest poll shows that 28% of teens are using some kind of sleep aid, a medication over the counter, what have you, to help them sleep. Three quarters of those haven't talked with their doctors about it. And as we know, a lot of teens aren't getting the recommended 8 or 9 hours a night. We want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Are you the parent of a sleepy teen or a sleepy teenager yourself? Have you or your family used some kind of medication to help out? Have you talked to a doctor about the problem? Is technology part of the story here? Is scheduling, overscheduling, too much homework, too many activities part of the story for your family? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org or join the conversation on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll pick up the conversation, maybe hear from you, coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Right now, we pick up our conversation about teens and their sleeping troubles. Sarah Clark is our guest. She's an associate research scientist in the Department of Pediatrics and Communicable Diseases at the University of Michigan. She's also co-director of the National Poll on Children's Health from the C.S. Mott Children's Hospital. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have a teenage child with sleeping issues? Are you a teenager with sleeping issues? Or do you think back to your teen years and think, yeah, this sounds like me. I didn't sleep enough. What was going on? Was it was there medication or other herbal supplements that you used to help out? Did you talk about this with a doctor? And why do you think we as a society have a problem getting our teenagers to sleep enough? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Go to your calls now. We've got Dan with us in Dubuque, Iowa. Dan, hi.
How you doing there, buddy?
Good. What's your story?
Well, I just, you know, I have three teenage boys. They're pretty good kids. And sure, they're tired sometimes, but they're 12, 14, and 16. And we don't live on a farm, but I just think the whole wide world's getting too soft and cushy and easy on kids these days. I think they, you look at a 90-year-old man, all he ever did is talk about milking cows before he went to school every morning and coming home and doing chores and homework and then going to bed. I think you just train yourself to do, be a great big boy. And then these kids, they all talk back to their parents these days. And
all right, Dan, we can go on for a while on that. But Dan's point, Sarah, it sounds like teens aren't getting, among other things, enough physical activity. We're not doing enough to get them tired out by bedtime.
You know, I think Dan's got an excellent point around that. Including a well-balanced, healthy lifestyle is a lot of physical activity. I grew up in Stevens Point. There's a lot of farmland around it, and I think that the getting up early part was also often accompanied by the going to bed a little earlier part, too, for those kids. I do want to mention, though, one other element that parents might be concerned about related to inadequate sleep in teens. It's also less safe driving. And I would also say that's probably true for adults too. But if you have teens that are trying to get to school, driving themselves early in the morning, maybe driving a few of their classmates, and they're on the road and they're a little sleepy, or they're driving home late after a late practice or game, that's a risk factor for car crashes or other situations that we don't want to see.
Dan, thanks for that call. Going out to Mike on the line in Sheboygan. Mike, hi.
Hello.
What'd you want to bring up, Mike?
I wanted to talk about the researcher had said that teens aren't biologically set up to wake up in the morning. I find that really hard to believe. You know, I was a teen. I woke up in the morning. Lots of my friends woke up in the morning. The difference probably was is we weren't playing video games till midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning. We had all had bedtimes when we were in schools, and when you went to bed, you got your 8 hours of sleep. I think some of the problem might be the fact that society wants to let teens just do what, well, if you want to stay up till 1 o'clock and play video games, then that's what you should be able to do. And it's not, you are biologically set to wake up at 6 a.m.
Got it, Mike. Thanks for the call. I don't know if you were saying that it's impossible for teens to wake up early, but that idea of setting bedtimes and not letting that technology or whatever keep teenagers up late, Sarah.
Well, and I agree with Mike in that in no way is our work meant to give kids a free pass to stay up till 1 or to let parents think that that's the appropriate way to run your household. There is pretty good research to show that your natural rhythms, like if you allowed yourself to wake up without an alarm clock, just when you do, it shifts it during adolescence. It shifts a little bit later. So it's not 3 hours later, but it might be 30 to 45 minutes. So there is a natural component of it, and in no way does that excuse having a, you know, having a regular bedtime. I will say I have two sons who are in their early 20s. Their high school activities ran a little later than I remember back in my day. And so one of the things that we want to make sure people think about is look at the child's whole schedule. And if that load of activities is pushing consistently later and later into the night, coupled with a homework load that makes a regular bedtime at a reasonable hour at a 10 o'clock or 10:30 just out of the question, then it's time to really think about what is your child's total bucket of activities, and maybe it's time to talk about cutting back on something.
Mike, thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. We're talking about teens and sleep. Mostly they're not getting enough. Sarah Clark is with us from the University of Michigan. Back to your calls now. Jeanette is on the line in Walworth. Jeanette, hi. What did you want to bring up?
Well, here's what I would suggest. I happen to be a music teacher and for over 30 years now, and in our district, they have me at the elementary and at the junior high. So in order for the little kids to be most awake and alert for their reading, writing, and math blocks, I don't teach music generally in the morning until later. But I'm up at the middle school in the morning because that's when they're most groggy, and when they wake up, they're alert and ready for their core activities. So I would suggest if they can't change the schedule bus-wise and everything else, that they at least take a look at maybe changing the academic offerings for later times for the junior high and high school and earlier times for the elementary.
And Jeanette, you don't mind teaching music to sleepy middle schoolers?
Well, you know, they behave wonderfully.
Fantastic. Jeanette, thanks a lot for sharing that. So Sarah, she's saying, okay, if they have that early schedule, at least let them peak later in the day with those academic courses.
Absolutely. And I love that there was a conversation about what is best for kids of different ages. And it sounds like from Jeanette's comments, they were taking into account not only the needs of those middle schoolers where this difficulty waking up is really starting to begin to blossom, but they were also thinking about the needs of our elementary kids. That's just great thinking and decision making.
I want to take one more caller before we run out of time. Shauna is with us in Milwaukee. Shauna, hi.
Hi. I was calling to touch base. I've got a slightly different side of things. I work in a residential treatment center for behavior health, and we've got a bunch of teenagers that we work with. And for them specifically, it's very dependent on their specific needs, and I think even broadly for teenagers, it depends on their needs. And so we have kids who have specific medications or they need certain levels of exercise. And so making sure that we recognize that not every kid is the same.
Shauna, I gotcha. A little tough on the phone line there, but the gist is she works with teens. They have different situations, different needs, different backgrounds. There's not necessarily a one-size-fits-all, Sarah.
And that's what parents need to remember in terms of figuring out what's going to work best for their teen. So, yes, generally sleep hygiene is a good set of strategies, but I think parents have to look at the individual situation of their teens to figure out which particular trigger points are causing the most disruption to sleep, address that. And you know what? The most important thing, talk to your teen and make sure that that teenager is involved in being part of the solution.
And Sarah, just in our last few moments, you're trying to draw attention to these issues with this study. Are people listening?
I do think people like Shauna, people like Jeanette and Dan and Mike are thinking about what is best for their kids. A lot of parents are noticing that, yeah, this is a problem in my family too. And what we're really hoping to do with this poll is get people talking about what can they do to make things better in their own family. And if it's appropriate, talk to that healthcare provider next time you go in for a visit about what other strategies you might try.
Sarah, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Dan.
That's Sarah Clark, Associate Research Scientist in the Department of Pediatrics and Communicable Diseases at the University of Michigan. She's also co-director of the C.S. Mott Children's Hospital National Poll on Children's Health. We talked with her about the recent Mott poll that showed 28% of teens used medication to help them sleep. You can share your thoughts and experiences with sleepy teens over at the Ideas Network Facebook page. Join the conversation already going on over there.